And today's scripture is Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
マタイによる福音書3章11節から12節。私はあなた方が悔い改めるために水のバプテスマを授けていますが、私の後から来られる方は私よりもさらに力のある方です。私はその方の履物を脱がせてあげる値打ちもありません。その方はあなた方に聖霊と人のバプテスマをお授けになります。手に身を持っておられ、ご自分の脱獄場を水隅々まで清められます。麦を蔵に納め、殻を消えない火で焼き尽くされます。
Good morning. How are you doing?Good. Well, today we have the privilege to witness Kazumi's baptism. And so I wanted to speak about the power and significance of baptism today. As we read and as we heard, this is John the Baptist speaking in Matthew chapter 3. He says, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so we see in the Bible, there are several types of baptism. If we look at Hebrews chapter 6, 1 through 3, you don't have to turn there, but let me read. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. And if you look carefully, the word baptism there is plural. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying these are the elementary teachings of Christ. And one of those teachings is baptisms. And there are several types of baptisms. And I want to give you some examples throughout Scripture that teaches that. Of course, today's reading clearly states that there's a water baptism and a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to take, for example, Jesus' baptism. Right after John makes a proclamation, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. We see the scene of Jesus' baptism. Let me read that. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so for now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. In this case, Jesus got the entire package. There was a water baptism, and then there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't always the case. The first disciples were baptized several years prior to receiving the Holy Spirit, and we see that in Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with the disciples, this is after the resurrection, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so we see here that Jesus was teaching them, you've been baptized by John. But there is another baptism I want you to wait for. A baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. There's another example. In Acts chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. This is a longer story. To give you a little background and history of this, this is the first non-Jewish person that's going to be baptized, or that's going to be converted into Christianity. But in Acts chapter 10, let me read from verse 1 through 6, and then I'll jump down to verse 44. But verse 1, it reads, "At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, 'Cornelius.' Cornelius stared at him in fear. 'What is it?' he asked. The angel answered, 'Your prayers and gift to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea.'" If you would jump down with me to verse 44. During this time, while Cornelius is having this vision, Peter has a vision as well. And Peter finally goes to Cornelius' house, and verse 44 says this: "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all of them who heard the message." And so what was happening is, so Cornelius sent for Peter to come, and Peter started to proclaim the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as he was speaking, it says this: "While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, 'Surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water. They have already received the Holy Spirit just as we have.'" And so what happened there was an instance where prior to water baptism, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. And my point in sharing these instances of baptism is this: that there are different types of baptisms. There is water baptism that has a certain symbolic meaning and certain grace, power, anointing over it. But there is also the Holy Spirit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which also has a certain significance, power, and anointing to it. Both are important, but they don't always come at the same time. Let me give you one more example, and then I'll talk about the power of water baptism today. And then next week, I'll talk about the power of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19:1, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. But it says this: "While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They answered, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' So Paul asked, 'Then what baptism did you receive?' They replied, 'John's baptism.' Paul said, 'John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus.' And then after that, Paul prays for them, and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit." Again, another instance where people were baptized in water, but they weren't necessarily baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so, again, there are different baptisms. There's water baptism, and there's baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, for most of us, we've been baptized in water. And sometimes we think, oh, automatically, then we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What actually happens is, when we first repent, and ask Jesus in our heart, the Holy Spirit does dwell in us. But there is a distinct difference in being sealed with the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And next week I want to talk more about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk about the power and the grace and the significance of being baptized in water. And if you notice several passages where it says the water baptism, it's a water baptism of repentance. And so what is repentance? Repentance simply means changing directions because of a changed mind or a changed heart. We change directions. Now, for those of you who drive, you know the importance of going in the right direction. And similarly, for those who have driven for a long time, knows the frustration of getting lost or going in the wrong direction. I remember one of my first dates with my wife. I took her to Santa Monica Pier. We used to live in California. But I took her to Santa Monica, and I wasn't too familiar with that area. And it was already getting dark, and we were by the beach, and there was a road that I thought just led closer to the beach. And as I got on that road, I heard some people started clapping, and then some people started cussing at me, words I can't repeat here. But apparently I got on the part of the street where you're not supposed to drive on. It's only for pedestrians and people to walk on. And I was on the wrong... I was on part of the street or the road that wasn't meant for cars. And obviously, I was going in the wrong direction. And I needed to change direction. And as soon as I could, I repented and I changed direction and went on the part of the road where you're supposed to drive on. But again, if you've driven a car before, or if you've been on a long road trip, you know the importance of going the right way. Repentance simply means changing directions so that we could go in the right direction. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, if we take the analogy of driving, there are some people who are seeking God without Jesus. But Jesus clearly makes a statement, "I am the way, and no one goes to the Father except through me." So for those of us who are trying to seek God without Jesus, it's similar to driving on the right street but going the wrong way. We make a left instead of making a right, and we're just needing to make a U-turn. For those of us who are seeking God through doing the right thing, There are many people who seek God thinking, if I live the right way, then I'll be pleasing to God. And in a sense, it's true. But seeking God without Jesus and simply doing the right thing is similar to following all the traffic rules, but still going in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter if you're going 45 miles per hour, using your signals, stopping, yielding, and doing all the right things, following all the traffic laws. But if you're going the wrong way, you'll never reach your destination. And for those of us who are far from seeking God and living our lives simply for the moment, would be like going the wrong way on the wrong side of the street. I remember one time I was on vacation with my brothers, and my brother, he was sleeping, and all of a sudden he started yelling in panic, And I got really scared, and I looked at him, and he was just having a bad dream. And so later that night, I asked him, "What were you dreaming about?" And then he said, "Well, I was on the freeway going the wrong direction, on the wrong side of the street." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's God talking to you. You need to repent." But whether you're just seeking God without Jesus, seeking God, trying to do the right thing, or not even close to seeking God, in all three cases, repentance is necessary. Changing direction is essential for us to get to our destination. And what is repentance? Again, it's changing direction. But as we change direction, it's an invitation to receiving God's grace and mercy in our lives. What it is it opens the door. It opens the door for God to come in. In Revelation, there's a picture of Jesus that he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever will open the door, I'll come in and eat with them, and they eat with me." And it's a picture of table fellowship. It's a picture of Jesus wanting to come into our lives, to have intimacy. And so once we repent and change direction, it's opening the door for God to come in and His mercy and grace to come in. Because what is it we're repenting from? And we could see that again in Hebrews chapter 6. Turn there with me, if you will, if you have your Bibles with you. In Hebrews chapter 6, I read this earlier, but let me read this again. Verses 1 through 3. It says, Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. And so he's going to begin to list what is elementary. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that leads to death and of faith in God. So it's and a repentance from acts that leads to death and a faith of God. And that's sort of like one and the same thing. Acts, repenting from acts leading to death and faith in God. It's sort of like two sides of a coin. Now, what is acts that leads to death? It's simply the belief that we could work our way into heaven. It's the belief that we could earn God's favor or work for His love. Hebrews 11 is clear. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. So what we're repenting from, what we're turning direction from, what we're changing our perspective, our mind, and our hearts from, is acts that leads to death. Of course, it's repenting of sin, but it's far deeper than repenting of sin. It's a repentance of turning to God. It's saying, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the power to reach God with my own strength. I need His grace. And it is faith that opens that door up of grace and mercy. And God is such a generous God, a loving God, that He can't wait to bless us. When Jesus died on the cross, He uttered these words. He says, "It is finished." In the Greek, It's an accounting term meaning paid in full. And what the significance of that is this, that there is so much that is credited to us because of the death and resurrection of Christ. It's like a bank account full of funds ready for us to pay off all of our debts that is being unused. And as soon as we repent and turn direction, it opens the door to that account. Earlier this week, I got a call from American Funds, and the lady, she left a message on my answering machine, and she said, we have someone that just invested money in your name, but you don't have an account with us. You're going to need to open an account. And I was hoping, yes! All my debts are paid off. It's my rich grandmother, and she just invested $1 million into me. It wasn't the case. It's just my pension. But, you know, in the back of my head, I'm like, yes, hallelujah, and just hoping for the best. But praise God, I have a pension now. But in a way, Jesus did that for us. He has invested money into our account. He said it is paid in full when He died on the cross. The power of repentance is tapping into that account. Jesus has invested in your life. All you have to do is open a fund. And it's through the power of repentance, which is symbolized by water. And repentance is just the beginning of a journey of transformation. Many of us, we make the mistake of thinking, oh, I need to be perfect before I go to God. And I think that lie, it keeps a lot of us away from seeking God. We feel we're not worthy or we're not as good as somebody else. And I think it keeps a lot of people from turning to God, and it also keeps a lot of people from serving God. From going to the mission field or just simply serving in different ways, different capacity. But Jesus and God, they never require us to be at a certain level of spirituality, a certain level of righteousness to come to them. God never requires us to be at this point in our life. He just says, come to me and I'll transform your life. I'll change your life. In fact, we're going to God because we don't have the power ourselves to change our lives. And I'll talk more about that next week. The power of baptism through the Holy Spirit. But just to give you a little bit of what I want to talk about. But without the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's impossible to say no to sin. It's impossible to live a life that pleases God without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'll talk more about that next week, but this week I want to talk about the power of water baptism. And if you've never, I know most of you, and I know most of you have been baptized, but if you've never been baptized in water, there is such a grace, a power, an anointing, an unction that comes with water baptism. And I'm so glad that Kazumi, she decided to be baptized, because it is a symbolic beginning of a transformation, a powerful transformation that is going to take place. Again, it is an opening, a door to receive all that God has for us, to live that redemptive life, transform life, that will please the Lord. I'm really excited. This is going to be my first baptism. And so, stay tuned. Let me pray for our time. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and fill each and every one of us up right now. And Father, if there is anyone here today who's going the wrong direction, who needs to make a U-turn in life, I pray, Father, you would convict their hearts. Father, I pray that you would just give them the grace, Lord, to change their mind, to change their heart, to change their perspective, and to change the direction they're going. Lord, would you speak to them right now? And I just want to give this invitation. If there is anyone here who just wants to repent and really ask Jesus in their lives, would you just raise your hand? Father, I thank you for your grace, and I do pray, Lord, for those of us who have not asked you into our hearts yet, into our lives, for those of us who have not repented yet, I do pray, Father, that you would just show them just how much you love them and how much you want to transform their lives. Again, Lord, I thank you for this time, and I lift it up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.